Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf Ayemi, Maseches Bava Kama Daf Mimalef. We are holding out the Mishnah, which is nine lines from the top of the Amud. Says the Mishnah, Shoyer Shenogach Hasa Adam Umeis. If a bull attacks a person who dies, Muad Mishalom Kofer. If this Shoyer is known to attack people, he's a Muad with respect to killing people, then the owner has to pay that Kofer, pay out that compensation to the victim's family, which we discussed yesterday. V'tam patam na kofer, but if the shur is, you know, it's only his first, second time around, so then there's no kofer payment. V'zev v'zeh chayav an misa, but either way, if a shur kills a person, whether in a tam or moed state, the shur is put to death, and the Gemara of course will ask, if he's put to death the first time around, how does he ever get to become a moed for killing people, which would trigger the kofer payout? The Gemara will deal with that. V'chein beben, v'chein bebas. All these halachas apply whether the shor killed an adult or a young boy or girl. Nogach eved ama, however, if he kills an eved kanani or a maid servant, there's an established rate in the Torah for that. Noisim shleishim slaim, you pay 30 selah, irrespective of the value of the eved. Bein shu yafa mea mana, whether he's a very valuable eved worth 100 mana, ubein shena yafa la dinar echad, whether only worth one measly coin. Asks Gemara that question. Vichemi achad matam katlinan lay. Once the Mishnah tells us that even a shor tam or attacks and kills a person is put to death, how do you ever get to establish a track record for killing people? He's no longer around after the first time. So the Gemara now endeavor to find many, many different types of situations where this would be possible. He's an established killer, but he's still alive. Amar Rab, Hachavai Skinner was speaking, Kigan Shamdu, Lishloish Abnei Adam. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, he didn't actually kill those people. He chased them. He tried to attack them. We assume, we estimate, that had he caught up with them, he would have killed them. That's enough to establish him as a killer, although he didn't actually kill, and therefore is not put to death. So he's considered a mu'ad for killing people, and ultimately, if he kills somebody now, kofer payout is in place. Rav Ashi Omar, he disagrees. Just evaluations. Lav klumu, that's not something to reckon with, because he didn't actually kill a person. Ella, Hachab Ma'eskin, rather was speaking conscious, Sikh and Shlesh Abani Adam. He critically injured three people on Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday, and they only died today. So today, he has an established track record. He's a mu'ad to kill people. But he's still around because until today, his victims hadn't died, and therefore he was not deserving of being put to death. So that's how you have a mu'ad for killing who's still around. Rav Zvid Amar, Gun Shaharak Shlesh Abani Hemois. He killed three people, three animals. So he's a killer animal, he's a killer shor, but he's not being put to death until today when he kills a person. U'mu'ud l'behemav, u'mu'ud l'adam, just because he kills animals, does that establish him as a mu'ud for killing people? It's more difficult to kill a person. A person has mazel and a malach that protects him. We had a back on that base on the base. Elam arfsimi, the case can be like this. Kigon shaharak shloisha abdi kechavim. On Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday, he killed three goyim. So now he's a mu'ud for killing, but the shor is not put to death because he has yet to kill Yisrael, which only happened today. But why is he a mu'ad for killing if it's only goyim? A mu'ad lo avid kechavim, who don't have such big mazel and malach, have a mu'ad to Yisrael, that makes him a mu'ad for Yisrael? No, elam or shem malakish, that can't be the case. Rather, kigon shaharak shloisha bnei adam treifa. What happened was Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday, he killed three people, but they were treifa. They were unhealthy people. They had critical internal wounds slated for premature death, in which case, if a person or an animal kills such a person, as terrible as it is, he's not chayev misa. So on the one hand, since he did it over and over again, he's established a track record for being a killer animal, but he's not been put to death until today when he actually kills a healthy person. Once again, the same question of mu'ad l'treifa. Have a mu'ad l'shalom just because he's known to kill treifas, which, you know, are relatively more susceptible to this type of attack. They succumb to wounds quicker than a healthy person. So why does that make him a mu'ad for healthy people? Elam rapapa, I'll tell you the case that follows. Dekatal va'arak la'agma. When he killed a person, a healthy person on Sunday, he ran off to the swamp. He was out of reach. He escaped. So therefore we couldn't catch up with him and kill him. Dekatal va'arak la'agma, same on Monday, same on Tuesday. And only today did we finally catch up with him, but it's too late. He's already holding out his fourth victim. So he can have a mu'ad for killing who's still alive. Rav Achav Rav Ika Amar. Oh, here's a halachic arrangement, which would explain the story. What happened was like this. On Sunday, two Edom came that he killed a person, followed by another pair of Edom who are going to make the first Edom, Edom Zemimin. What are you talking about? You witnessed this incident in Chicago? You were with us in New York at that very moment. And the Torah adopts the testimony of the second pair. And now the first pair are called Edom Zemimin. They're plotters. And we undo, we cancel their testimony. The same happened on Monday with respect to another killer incident. The same happened on Tuesday. So we sort of kept on getting this impression that the Shur killed people, but it was immediately undone by the second pair who now made the first pair Zemimin. But on Wednesday, the same thing happened again. Two Edom came, you killed. Two Edom came and said, what do you mean? You were in Chicago? You were with us in New York. But now, came another pair of Edom and said, one second. The second pair who are claiming that the first pair's testimony is false, you yourself are false Edom. You're falsifying your account. You had said to the first pair, how could you testify about this incident in Chicago? Because you two were with us in New York. Well, guess what? We're coming and claiming that you, the second pair, were not even in New York at that time. You were in LA with us at that time. And they're saying the same thing regarding all the second pairs on Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday. How could you falsify the first testimony claiming that you were with them at a certain place? You with us at a different location. So basically what happens now is that we restore, right? Because we undid the falsification, we restore all those Edom. We've now reestablished the Edom of Sunday who claimed that the Shur killed. On Monday he killed, Tuesday he killed, Wednesday he killed. So now it's been revealed, it's been discovered the Shur really killed people. But we didn't know about that until today. We had figured the Edom were false. The second pair who made the first pair Zemimin, they are called Zemimin Zemimin. They are now Zemimin themselves. They were Huzam. They became Zemimin themselves by this third pair. So we have a beautiful case where the animal turns out to be a killer animal, but it wasn't, the incidents weren't really addressed until today when it's been discovered those real incidents were incidents that really occurred. But the thing is, all three incidents were now brought to the forefront today, right? So how does the Shur become a Mu'ud? Don't you need to space it? You need to give the owner some time to get his act together and, you know, apply some Shmira to the Shur, right? So Nicha, that only works Ilu Yehuda Tura. But you know, if the whole point of that repetitive, you know, attacking pattern required to make him a Mu'ud is only there to establish the Shur as a violent animal. So even if it's sort of lumped together and been discovered all on the same day, Shapur, it still makes the Shur a Mu'ud because evidently he developed this violent nature. If the point of making a Mu'ud, the point of putting the owner on notice is, you know, also to allow the owner to get his act together and add to the Shmira on the Shur, then how can you just, you know, sort of lump it all at the same time and sort of pile it on to the owner and hold him accountable for everything all at once? You know, Meimar Amar, you can say, look, Amarli, lo yaviyadina, you know, I didn't know until today. I, you know, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, we figured this whole thing was false. So how could you just do this all at once? The answer is going to Amri, because the last pair of Edom are saying, kol emas the kotel, turei, gabei habakoi, because they're saying, look, we happen to know that whenever you're, you know, the incidents happen, your animal killed, claims the kotel turei, your turei killed, gabei habakoi, you're standing right there. So true, halachically speaking, technically speaking, Bezdin, we did not, you know, establish it as a fact until today, as we explained, but ultimately it's been discovered that you were there. You were appraised of the whole story as it was happening, so you can't claim to be innocent. Ravina Omar, I'll give you another example. A Shur Mu'ud who was not put to death until today. So the Edom who came on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, they recognized the owner of the violent bull. They know that, you know, one of your animals killed a person, but problem is they couldn't point a finger to the actual bull. Vein makirnas asher, they couldn't identify the actual attacker. So we could not address the actual animal until it's been identified today. So we can have a shor who is a mu'ud, but it's still around. But then the question is, what do you want from the owner? If you didn't tell him which animal it was, what do you want him to do? Because look, they tell him, you have a violent attacking bull, islach bebikrach, together in your herd. Go watch everything. Don't take chances. So, yeah, blame is pinned on the owner for not locking up all those animals. Okay, bottom line, the mission tells us that a shor killed a person is put to death, but kaifer only applies when he's a mu'ud doing so. How do you get to a mu'ud for killing people and still be around after all that? So the Gemara gives us many examples, some of which were disputed by the other Meraim and some of which stay till the end. So if a shor attacks and kills a person, he's put to death. Toner Rabbanan. We had the same Gemara almost word for word back in Kedushin. Dafn Vavan Mubez. Toner Rabbanan. Mashma Shinamar. Sokol Yisokol Ashor. Once the Torah tells us that the shor is put to death by skila, by stoning, don't I already know that he's a nevela, that you can't eat him? Eini yodea she nevela, v'nevela sur v'achila. We of course know that there's no shchita, it's a nevela, you can't eat it. Matam Malemis, why does the pasuk have to go and stress lo yachal es basara that you can't eat it? Magdacha Kosov. The Torah is here teaching us a chiddush. Shem shachted la'achash nigmar dinoi. Not only when he was stoned is he asur ba'achila, but even if you quickly chapped around, you did a shechita after the bezin issued their verdict. So you did it before the skila, asur ba'achila, you can't eat it because it's already asur. Only ala ba'achila. So perhaps it's only limited to isra achila. What about benefiting from the animal in a different way? Bahano minayin. Tamalim. The pasuk says ubal asher naki. The owner is been cleansed. What does that mean? My mashma, how do you see from there? Shimon ben Zayma. Omer explains, Ka'adam sha'im l'chaber, like a person tells his friend, poor fellow over there, look, he's bankrupt. Yotza ish pleni nakim nachas, the fellow was clean, cleansed of his possessions. Ve'ein lo'i behem ano, Hashem klum, and he has no benefit in them. So that's the expression here of Al Hashem Naki, the owner cannot benefit anything in any way from the animal once it's slated for skila. Asks the Gemara, how do you know that this pasuk is coming to tell you this chiddush la'echa, the shachtai achash nigmar dinai, that after the gmar din, if the shechita was done at that point, you can't eat it? How do you know such a great chiddush? Ema, perhaps I'll say, the shachtai achash nigmar dinai, if the shechita occurred at that point, shari b'achilu, you can have the animal. Shari b'achilu who? V'hai lo yachal es b'sorei. Maybe the point of lo yachal is to tell you, la'echa the sakle miskal, that after this gila, the asr ba'anahu, you can't even enjoy it. Why is lo yachal pertaining to isr hano? Because Rabbi Avo tells us that these lishonos can encompass achila and hano. The Omar Rabbi Avo Omar Veloso called makim. Whenever we find in the Torah any of these expressions, shenamar lo yachal, lo yachal, lo seichel, any of these lishonos can mean anything. Echad isr achila ve'echad isr hano b'mashma. It incorporates the isr to eat and the isr to have hano, which is also sort of a form of consumption. How do we know that lashon achila include hano? I have a right from nevela. Achi fard lecha kosov. Kederach shepard lecha b'nevela. Because by nevela, the pasuk simply says don't eat. And then the pasuk has to stipulate that you can have hano. You can have benefit. You can sell to the goy, give it as a gift to the ger toshav. Why does the Torah have to allow that to you? Why would I think you can't have hano from a nevela where it's only isra achila? Apparently, lo yiseicha includes both, and therefore the Torah had to make exception by nevela. Here, it's muter b'hano. Ad shepard yifar lecha kosev, kederach shepard lecha b'nevela, until the Torah stipulates, like b'nevela, that there's an exception, you can have the ano. Otherwise, it's included in the isra achila. L'ger b'nesina, l'gicham b'mechir, you can sell to the guy, you give it to the ger toshav as a gift. So that's the question. Why? Why do you conclude that lo yachalas b'sorei is telling you can't even eat the animal before Gemar Din, before the Shkila, because that's the point of the Pasuk. Maybe the point of the Pasuk is to tell you, after Shkila, after Bezin applied the punishment of Shkila, I understand you can't eat it. But Yachal maybe is coming to include even Yisra Hanah, which you wouldn't know otherwise. So perhaps if you did the Shkita before the Shkila, it's Mutter. It's only a point of after Shkila, don't eat it, don't have Hanah. Amri, So the response is like this. When do we say that any of these phrases, any of these expressions, will include achila and hano? That's only when the phrase is actually coming to introduce to us both things, don't eat and don't have hano. So we can understand that it's sort of wrapped together, bundled in one word. But in the case of the shir that's being put to death upon killing a person, the isra achila misakli yisakla nafka. How do we know that we don't eat it after skila? Because he went through skila, he's an avela. So isra achila is already checked off, that we know. The only thing we may not know is isra hana. So isra kadaita chaylo yechal esbesarei. Isra hanahu. So if the lashon lo yechal esbesarei is just coming to forbid hana, then the Torah would just say hana. Why would the Torah use a lashon which relates to achila if it's just coming to tell you hano? If it's coming to tell you both, I understand. So we use sort of an umbrella phrase which includes both. But if achila is already known, it's just coming to add hano. Nichtav rechmona lo yehena. The Torah would just say, don't have hano. Inami. Another response would be, lo yachal. Fine. Let's say the Torah is coming to tell you hano by using the word lo yachal. But just say lo yachal. Es besori lamali. Why add the word es besori? If it's just coming to tell you, don't have hano. Oh, it must be the Torah is coming to add another point, a totally new point. The Afrika of the Avdekein Basar. Es besori, you made it into flesh. You shechted it before the skill. The shechted, it's still us. So that's the answer to the question. Lo yachal es besori is referring to shechita before the skill. Don't have hano, don't have achila. Maskev lo marzot. Eima. Hanim ili hecha, the badak tzor v'shachat boy. I understand that even if the animal had shechita, but if it's before, after the Gemar Din, you can't have anything from it. But maybe that's only when the shechita was reminiscent of stoning. Hecha, the badak tzor v'shachat boy, he took a rock. He checked it, he made sure it's sharp, and he did the shechita. The abdikin shechita, which is sort of, you know, similar to stoning. So maybe there we say it's too close to stoning, it resembles stoning, and therefore it's asr. But maybe if you use a regular knife, it's okay. Amri, so the answer is, what difference does it make? Shchita is a shchita, is a shchita. Ato sakan, ksivu by raisa. Does the Torah anyway even mention shchita with a sakan? Anything that you use, any sharp instrument works. There's no advantage to a knife over a rock, and you can't suggest as such. Vatanan, hashechad b'magal yad, b'tzur, b'kana, a person uses a sickle, a stone, a sharp reed. It works. Shchitosik shir. That's the answer to your question. Asks the Gemara, "Ah, to the nafka isra achila b'sar no malo yachlas b'saroi." Now, according to Rabbi Vo, that lo yachlas b'saroi incorporates isra achila and hano. So we know that if the animal was shechted before the skila, right, and certainly after the skila, the animal is totally asra b'achila and b'hano, right? So then, why does the Torah have to add balasher naki, that the owner is now, you know, cleansed of his possessions? He can't have any ano. Balashar naki lamali, what do we need that for? We already know they can't benefit in any way, whether through achil or ano, because la yachal includes both. Answers the Gemara, the words balashar naki is coming to tell you something else. La nas oiroi, that not only can't he have the flesh, but he can't even benefit from the skin of the animal. The saga that the chamin, perhaps I would say, b'saray do asr b'ano, you can't have the flesh. Avaloyer nishteri, but the skin you could. Nishteri b'ano is mutter b'ano, k'mashmon the chiddush is balashar naki, that he loses the entire animal. That's good and well if balashar naki is available for this drasha. But lahanach tanoi the mafkele lahi balashar naki drasha achrina. But according to the tanoim later on daf mem beis, bezer Hashem, k'dubein and mem l'kaman, as we're going to learn later on daf mem beis, who apply the pasuk balashar naki for other halachis? Hanas oirim minalu. So how do they know that you have to keep away from the skin of the animal? The answer is nafkalu. They learn it from the pasuk may es besare. It says lo yachal es besare. Es is an add-on, coming to include something else as well. Es hatafal besare, the skin which is secondary to the flesh. Mind you, what is that? Oiroi, the skin of the animal. Now, this drasha of S is not universal. V'haytana es ledorish. The other Tana who derived the Isra of the skin of the Ur from Ubala Sharnaki and not from the extra word S, Vahaitana Es Laidorish does not expand, does not focus, does not derive anything from the word S, as we're going to see in the Braisa coming up in a minute. Kedesani. Shimoin Ha'amsuni. That was his name. But Amrigal, some say it was a different person. Nechemya Ha'amsuni. Initially, he would darshan all the S's in the Torah. Ha'idorish kol Esen Shabbat Torah. Every time it says S, he would work on it and figure out what the Torah had in mind with the extra word. But at what point he got stuck. Kivan she'egia la'es Hashem l'kei chatira. The Pasuk says you're meant to have awe and fear from Hashem. S. What's the S coming to add? What could he add to Hashem? What could be equated and put on the same level chas v'shalom as Hashem? Peter, he backed off. He says, evidently, S is not meant to include anything because it's impossible in this case. So just like it doesn't work here, we're going to delete and cancel all our efforts. Evidently, S is just an expression. It's just sort of an add-on, a mode of speech, of expression, and it's not really coming to teach you anything. Pirish, so he backed off. Amrulay Talmidim. So now Talmidim turned to him and says, what happened to all your efforts, all your years of toil? Rebbe, call Esensha Derashta. What about all the S's that you did? Figure out. Matei Alein, what's going to be with all that work? Amrulam, he says, look, that's the way it works. Kishem Shekipalti Ischar Aladrisha, just like Hashem will reward me for all the efforts that I expounded when I toiled and discovered, at least at that point, I thought that was the true meaning of the S. Kach kibalti tzchar al aprisha. Likewise, now when I back off out of deference to Hashem, because as we explained, it's impossible to include anything in the word S when it relates to Hashem's yira. So this is a tremendous expression of yiras Hashem, of closeness to Hashem, of cover to Hashem, and if anything, this gives me more tzchar than in everything else. But that was up until a certain point. Achibor of Akiva, Akiva came along and he says, I'll tell you what it means. Believe me, and he taught that S, Hashem Elokei Chatira, does have deeper meaning. L'rabbi Tamid HaChamim, who are subordinate to Hashem and relating with deference and honor and yira to Tamid HaChamim because of the Torah and the closeness to Hashem that they embody, is really a cover to Hashem, and therefore it's fair. It makes sense that it would be put in the same pasuk, and yes, S does have significance in this case as well. So bottom line is, there was a shita that S is not coming to teach us anything. That was Shimon HaMsuni's approach, and that corresponds with the Braisa before, who could not learn anything from S, rather he learned it from Ubala Sharnaki. Tana Rabbana, Ubala Sharnaki. So the animal attacked a person, killed him. The owner of the shur is naki, meaning he doesn't have to pay anything. So he put the animal to death, but the owner is not obligated to pay any anything. What does that mean? What would he have to pay? Rabbi Elazar Omer naki mechatzi kofer. We would think just like an animal. We're speaking about a tam, right? Just like by damages. If he's a mu'ad, you pay fully. If he's a tam, you pay 50%. So likewise, when he kills a person, if he's a mu'ad, the owner pays kofer. And if he's a tam, doesn't have an established track record for killing people, so perhaps the owner has to pay half kofer, like chatzi nezek. That's the pasuk ubala sharnaki to tell you naki mechatzi kofer. There's no half kofer payments. Amalir be akiva. Why would you say so? Again, we're speaking about a tam. A tam, well, there the actual animal is the object of your lien, of your claim, right? It's megufoy that you collect your payment. So it would be impossible in this case because havi'eyu lebezn v'shalmacha, bring the animal to bezn and take your payout from the animal, which obviously is impossible because the animal killed a person and it's going to be put to death himself. There's no animal to take from. So why would you even think that the tam has to pay kofer? There's nothing to pay from when he's put to death upon killing a person. Rabbi Elazar responds to Rabbi Akiva. Kachani beinecha. This is how you relate to me. You think that I'm making such a grave mistake. Shadini baze shechayv misa, that I'm discussing an animal who's being put to death. Ein dini. My point was, My point, you know, to exempt the owner from Chatzi Kofer is relating to a case where the animal is not being put to death. If you killed a person, but there's only one aide to testify, so the animal is not being put to death. Well, the owner is admitting that it happened, so again, he's not being put to death. So you have an animal killed, but it's not being put to death. He's a tam. Perhaps you would pay chatzi kofer migufoy. The chiddush is no, you don't pay chatzi kofer by a tam. Well, says the gemara, how can this case work? Al pi balim moed debeknasu. Why would you even think that the owner has to pay chatzi kofer when he's the one who initiated, who informed us that his animal killed? That's moed debeknas. He's admitting to a penalty, and we know that moed debeknas is potter. Moed debeknasu. Well, says the Gemara, Kofer is not a knas, kasava kofer kapara. He's going with the approach that Kofer is an atonement. It's a kapara, it's not a penalty payment. And of course, that could be initiated by the owner as well. That's what I would think. Right? That we allow the owner to come forth and pay the kofer or the chatzi kofer to get a kapara? The chiddush is no. Ubala sharnaki, a tam never pays kofer, whether full or half. Tani idach. There's another approach to this back and forth between Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Lezer. Omer Rabbi Lezer. So once again, the pasuk says balashar naki, to which Rabbi Lezer adds naki mechatzi kofer. The owner of a shar tam who kills a person doesn't pay 50% kofer. Rabbi Lezer responds to him. Sorry. So first, Rabbi Kiva says to Rabbi Lezer, right? What do you mean? Why would he pay anything? So the animal is being put to death. There's nothing to take from. To that, Rabbi Lezer responds, Omer Rabbi Lezer, Akiva, kachani beinecha. That's how you relate to me. Shadini bazeshachay. You think I'm speaking about a case where the animal is being put to death? No, ain't dini. I'm speaking only el b'meskav la'rogasa behema, la'rogasa adam. That sure, he killed a person, but he wasn't intending on killing a yisrael. He was intending on killing an animal. He was aiming for the animal and killed the person, or a goy killed a yid, the mitzvah v'arog yisrael, or the animal was intending on killing a nephilim, a newborn who was not yet established as a viable child, v'arog ben kayama. He ended up killing a viable child. So basically, he killed a healthy person. It turns out that his victim was a Yisrael, it was a healthy person, and the animal is now liable, but since the intent was not to kill this person, Rashi brings the Gemara later, that he's putter from Skila, the animal's not being put to death. So perhaps, in this case, is a point of at least, you know, some monetary compensation. And since he's a Tam, half kofer will be in place. Sure, migufa, take it from the animal. The animal's around, not being put to death because it wasn't intentional. Okay, so that was Rabbi Lezer's response, to which Rabbi Kiva did not have an answer, whereas the Gemara before, in the first back and forth, the Gemara did come back with another answer, that you can't suggest it's the owner who is bringing this to the forefront because Moedek Knas is potter. To that, the Gemara responded, kufr kapara. Okay. Now, Hayama Liberation, which one of these responses did Rabbi Lezer say first? Right? Because again, the pasuk says Bala Shar Naki. Okay? He's Naki. He's sort of free. What does that mean? We're speaking about a Shar Tam who killed. Don't think he has to pay 50% kofer. Says Rabbi Lezer, Noki mechatzi kofer. Rabbi Kiva had a question. Why would he pay anything? He's a tam. And he's being put to death. He's not here to take from. Right? The tam is only Rishalim Megufa. He's not here. So there were two possible responses. In the first version, Rabbi Lezer says, what do you mean? The animal killed, but he's not being put to death because it was the aid echad. It was just one aid that's testifying. Or it was the owner. On that we had a response. What do you mean? The owner can't obligate himself, it's a knas. And Rashi adds, likewise the aid echad can't do that. You can only obligate payment with two aidim. So the Gemara responded to that, well, when it comes to the question of the moide b'knas, it's a kapara, it's not a knas. The second version was that Rabbi Lezer responded by saying, well, it was unintentional. The animal killed, but it was meant for the animal. He was aiming for the animal, ended up killing a person. So true, he killed a person, but he's not being put to death. So you can have a killer tam who's not being put to death. And since he's around, you can theoretically collect from the animal, and the chiddush of the pasuk is, no, you don't pay chatzi kofer. So the question is, which one of these answers came first? Apparently the Gemara is assuming both actually took place. Which one first? Now, realistically, the the second one is more solid because there's no response to the second response. You know, the case which Rav Elazar is depicting works. The animal intended on killing a behemoth and killed a person. So he killed a person, but he's not being put to death because it was unintentional. So you can have the animal around to draw from, right? Whereas the first, you know, response, you know, the one with the Eid Echad or the Balaam, that's problematic because, you know, the Balaam is Maida Beknas perhaps, the Eid Echad, who says he has the ability to instigate payment. So which one came first? The second one, which is more solid, or the first one, which is sort of shaky? Hayam liberation. Rav Kanamish made Rava Amar Miskavan Amalibresha. It was a second thing with the Miskavan story. That came first. Rav Tavimish made Rava Amar, no. Hamas Amalibresha. It was the first thing with the Hamas, Sapiyat Echad, Apibayim. That was responded to first. That was his first response. Now, why? Rav Kanamish made Rava Amar Miskavan Amalibresha. It was the second response that came first. Because, you know, that's a solid response without any refutation. Mushal, you know, example, a fisherman. Letzayet sheshel dogem nayam. A fisherman goes fishing. Okay, so he has a choice. Which fish he's going to grab first, the big ones or the small ones? Mashech rar rishakel. So, first, you know, if he finds the big ones, he takes the big ones first. And then only later on, he settles for the small ones when he runs out of big ones. Mashkech rar rishakel. He first takes the big ones. Zut rishakel, and afterwards he takes the small ones to fill his bucket. Likewise over here, chances are Rav Elazar responded with a more solid response first and then with the secondary response. Rav Tavimish made Rav Amar, no. Hamas Amal Gresha, first Rav Elazar came with the first answer, which is a little bit shaky. Why? Mashal Etzayed Shishol Degim Nayam. Again, an example, a mashal of Etzayed who is fishing his fish off the sea. Mash Tachzutri Shakel. So, you know, as soon as he sees any fish, even a small one, he grabs it, thinking, well, maybe this is my last chance. So he takes whatever he gets. So, you know, first thing comes to mind, that's what you say. And then later on, Mashkech Rav, if now he comes and finds a big fish, okay, he says, a waste to fill my bucket with small fish. Shadi, he throws out the small ones, then Shakech Rav grabs the big ones, and he fills his bucket with the big ones. Here as well, initially, Rav Elazar came up with an answer, which isn't necessarily the most substantiated response. But listen, you have nothing to lose. And then, when he came up with a better answer, he sort of discarded the first one and replaced it with a second one. Okay, but ultimately, Rav Elazar responded to Rav Akiva satisfactorily, and he explained the halacha, why do we need a pasuk, Nalki Mechatzi Kofer, by a tam, because we can have a tam who killed and is still around, for whatever reason. I would think that the owner has to pay kofer, not full kofer, but chatzi kofer, and the chiddush is no. The concept of kofer is specific to a mu'ad and never to a tam, at least according to these shitas in the Gemara. Okay, let's go back to the Mishnah. A shor that killed a person, if he's a mu'ad, there's kofer. If there's tam, there's no kofer, as we just explained. Either way, the shor is put to death. And the question was, how do we even get a shor who's an established killer if right away, starting from the first incident, he's being put to death? We have many, many examples, many cases in the Gemara that make it work. We have a Chiddush, that not only is the Shur going to be Asher ba'achila and ba'anah after he's put to death, the same applies, even if the Shechita happened before he's put to death, after the verdict of the Bezdin was issued. And it's all done from the Psukim. We have the Drasha of the Es, with Rabbi Akiva, Es the Rabbah and the Chachamim, and then we had this discussion between Rabbi Lezer and Rabbi Akiva to explain the Pasuk, Ubal Asher Noki, Noki Mechatzi Kofer. All the best to you and Hatzlacha Rabbah.